Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and most of the United States has all but forgotten about Hurricane Matthew from earlier this month, but Haiti can't forget. Matthew devastated the southern section of the island. According to the country's central government, over 500 people have died, but many believe the death toll is significantly higher, with some areas of the island yet to be fully assessed. And Haiti hadn't fully recovered from the massive earthquake in 2010 that killed hundreds of thousands of people, making the hurricane recovery all the more difficult now. Haiti has become a talking point in the 2016 election, too, as Hillary Clinton's involvement in Haiti, including the Clinton Foundation's earthquake relief and her policies as Secretary of State, have come under scrutiny. Here to discuss the current state of the Haiti recovery in the wake of Hurricane Matthew and the Clintons' involvement in the island nation over the years is Jonathan Katz, a freelance writer who regularly contributes to the New York Times and who was an Associated Press foreign correspondent based in Haiti when the 2010 earthquake struck. He's also the author of The Big Truck That Went By, How the World Came to Save Haiti and Left Behind a Disaster. Welcome to WNYC, Jonathan Katz.
Hey, Brian. Good to be here.
First on the ground in Haiti, from your sources, what are the estimates of the death toll and the extent of the destruction?
Well, it's the one thing that is very clear is that it's a huge mess. I mean, there's a ton of destruction down there. Death tolls in Haiti can often be pretty hard to pin down. Among other things, there aren't really good censuses for how many people are there at the time that the disaster strikes. But I wouldn't be surprised if the death toll was higher than the 500 that are currently being estimated, just because so many of the areas that have been hit are remote and hard to reach, and they're probably still, even weeks later, isn't word coming out of them about exactly what's happened there.
Now, you were based in Haiti, as I said, when the earthquake hit in 2010. Your book title states that the world came to save Haiti but left behind a disaster. Where would you start to describe that disaster and whose fault it was?
Well, I think it's everybody's fault. I mean, who was involved in the recovery from the earthquake? The real disaster was that there was a promise made after the earthquake struck in January of 2010, that not only was the country going to rebuild the areas that had been hurt by the earthquake, which was essentially just the capital and some surrounding cities, although that was home to about a third of the population of the country, but as Bill Clinton put it, that they were going to build back better, that the whole country was going to be lifted out of poverty, that institutions were going to be strengthened, and that the country would be better able to face disasters in the future. And it's been very clear for the almost 7 years now since that disaster struck that progress has not been made. And I think Hurricane Matthew really underlines just how weak the institutions and the preparations in the country are.
And there are reports, again, of inefficient distribution of aid in the wake of the hurricane. Is that because of infrastructure problems left over from the earthquake, or is it more complicated than that?
I think it's a little more complicated than that. In a lot of ways, you know, with this disaster, we're looking at the other side of the coin from the overconcentration that made of people that made the earthquake so deadly in 2010. This disaster, the hardest hit areas of Haiti by Hurricane Matthew are actually pretty far from the earthquake zone. It's more than 100 miles west of the area that the earthquake struck. So it's not that we're looking at areas that were affected by the earthquake and haven't been rebuilt properly, but we're looking at sort of the other problem, which is that because so many resources are concentrated in the capital, in the more remote areas like the ones where the hurricane struck, there's not a lot of infrastructure. It's very hard to reach people. And the big thing is that Haiti just lacks strong institutions that can take care of themselves, that can take care of their own people. It shouldn't be lost in this conversation that Haiti essentially doesn't really have a national government right now. The president stepped down in the early part of this year, and right now there's a transitional government in place that's supposed to be holding elections, and those have been delayed yet again because of the hurricane. There are a lot of different things that people in the United States take for granted that when a disaster strikes, there's going to be first responders or FEMA or somebody is going to be able to come and give us some help. And in Haiti, that stuff doesn't really exist. People are basically left on their own.
And when people do, as you say, disasters are left behind. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon recently acknowledged that the UN played a role in the initial outbreak of cholera in Haiti in the wake of the earthquake. Does this admission and things like it compromise the trust that Haitians have in foreign aid relief in general?
Well, I think the admission, and it's a pretty grudging admission, he's underselling the responsibility that the UN has there. They are solely responsible for introducing cholera, a disease that had never been seen in the country before, ever. There had never been a single documented case before United Nations peacekeepers introduced it into a rural part of the country in the fall of 2010. I think what has undermined the UN's credibility and really the entire international community's credibility in Haiti since then has been the failure to take responsibility for that. I mean, you know, it was very soon after. We're talking like in the first couple of days after the first cholera cases appeared in the fall of 2010, in October of 2010, rumors were circulating in the country that the United Nations was responsible. And heck, my first story about the UN's responsibility and the awful sanitation practices at the base that caused the epidemic was October 27th of 2010. It was almost exactly 6 years ago. Yeah. So I think an admission is a real admission and a real apology would go a long way to repairing that damage. But 6 years of damage is really hard to undo.
I'd like to invite Haitian and Haitian American listeners to call in and give us an update of whatever you're hearing anecdotally from people who you're in touch with in Haiti, with respect to conditions there after the hurricane. And you can also talk about how you and other people you know feel about the Clintons in general. This has become an issue in the campaign. We're going to play a clip from the third debate in a second where Haiti actually came up. But going back to the Bill Clinton administration, they used the U.S. military to help restore President Aristide after he was toppled in a coup and was in exile in the United States for a while, and then other Clinton involvements in Haiti that maybe were seen as less supportive from a populist standpoint. So Haitians, Haitian Americans, how's the island? What does it need after the hurricane? And how do you and how do other Haitians you know view the Clintons? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And here's a clip from the third presidential debate last Wednesday where Hillary Clinton mentioned the Clinton Foundation's work in Haiti.
When it comes to Haiti, Haiti is the poorest country in our hemisphere. The earthquake and the hurricanes, it has devastated Haiti. Bill and I have been involved in trying to help Haiti for many years. The Clinton Foundation raised $30 million to help Haiti after the catastrophic earthquake and all of the terrible problems the people there had. We've done things to help small businesses, agriculture, and so much else. And we're going to keep working to help Haiti because it's an important part of the American
They don't want you to help them anymore.
They don't want you to help them anymore, Trump chimed in. So as somebody who's written a book and many articles about Haiti and foreign aid to Haiti and Clinton aid to Haiti, what do you make of Clinton's statement about her foundation's work in Haiti and Trump's dashed off assessment of their perception down there?
Well, first of all, I don't think Donald Trump is exactly the authoritative source on the views of the 10 million people of Haiti, much less in the Haitian diaspora.
Fair place to start. Go ahead.
But it's interesting. You know, I think this may come as a surprise to some people, you know, given the amount of talk that's been surrounding the Clinton Foundation in particular. But in some ways, I think Hillary Clinton actually was on her safest ground by trying to limit her discussion of her involvement in Haiti to the Clinton Foundation. The foundation itself had a fairly small profile after the earthquake. They only were managing about $30 million in a multi-billion dollar response. And so, you know, the things that she was talking about that the foundation has been working on, these sort of, you know, small business, projects, growing peanuts, you know, helping fish farms, things like that, are kind of a more pleasant place for her to have the conversation than for her to talk about the fact that, for instance, as Secretary of State, she came down to Haiti personally at the beginning of 2011 to essentially overthrow the results of a Haitian election, to make sure that the candidate that the United States didn't want was pushed out of the race, and that a candidate that the United States preferred, who ultimately became a pretty bad president, was put in. And also just sort of the general record that she and her husband, as probably the two most powerful individuals in the reconstruction process itself, the responsibility that they have, the accountability that they should have for the ways in which that recovery came up short. But that said, I mean, it is important to understand that this is a very complex situation. And just because they were the two, and by far the two most important individual people out of everybody, doesn't mean that they were gods. It doesn't mean that they had control over every single thing that was happening in the reconstruction. So it's also possible to overstate the amount of criticism that they should have for it as well.
Paul in Floral Park, you're on WNYC. Paul, thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me ask my question. The issue is that I've been hearing for a long time that Bill Clinton used his position in Haiti to monopolize certain businesses, and one of the most lucrative businesses that he has a monopoly on is the cell phone. Personally, and he's getting very rich, doesn't pay taxes on it. And personally, I never really believe it, because that is just the rumors that you mentioned about the Clintons. So I would like to know whether the author or the guest has researched that, and whether he knows how true mm-hmm. that is or how false that is.
Jonathan, do you know that one that goes around and whether it's true?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of elision going on there. Where that rumor comes from is that Bill Clinton does have a close friendship with a guy named Dennis O'Brien, who's an Irish cell phone magnate. He's the head of a company called Digicel, which does dominate the Haitian cell phone market. But first of all, it's important to understand that Digicel was already a major force in Haiti before the Clintons sort of came back and became involved in the country again in 2009, shortly before the earthquake. And there's also, I've looked for it. There's really no indication other than a question of possibly two speaking fees that Digicel may or may not have helped contribute to for speeches that were outside of Haiti and had nothing to do with Haiti. There's no evidence that anybody, me or anybody else, has been able to unearth of Bill Clinton personally sharing in Digicel's profits. There's something real being reflected there, but it's being a little bit oversimplified.
Armand in Elmont, you're on WNYC. Hi, Armand.
Good morning, Juan. Good morning, everybody. Listen, I don't understand everything you said about Haiti and the guys who's in Haiti right now. And I need to say one thing, Juan. The Haiti situation has been very, very long like that. I don't need people try to use Haiti situation to do in their tent. And after the last debate, people ask questions about the Haiti situation. Donald Trump, he said something about Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton Foundation. He said, use Haiti to make money. I want to say, it's not only a Clinton family use Haiti. Almost everybody use Haiti, except for Barack Obama. Okay? People make money on Haiti. Donald Trump, he has business all over the world. How many business he has in Haiti? And it is 1 hour between Miami and Haiti.
Armand, thank you. And I think this goes to the point, Jonathan, to the premise of your book, The Big Truck That Went By, How the World Came to Save Haiti and Left Behind a Disaster. Armand is raising the prospect of widespread profiteering by people who may want to look like they were coming to save Haiti, but were really going to make money off it. Maybe that Irish cell phone magnate is one of them. But what would you say about the big picture there?
Yeah, I think he's absolutely right. I mean, first of all, I think that we often talk about Haiti in a way that ignores its history, that doesn't tell the real story of what's been going on there for centuries. And yeah, I mean, in disaster and after the earthquake in particular, and we're probably going to see the same thing again here with the hurricane, you have a humanitarian aid industry that is basically set up to keep money in the hands of the aid groups or the donor governments or the foreign countries from which the assistance comes. And there are businesses who come in and get huge contracts and try to take advantage of these situations in order to make a lot of money. And I think that we're really selling Haiti and our own conversation about ourselves short when we try to limit it to, you know, these imagined sort of pay-for-play relationships that just the Clintons supposedly have, without looking at the fact that this is an entire system in which people are benefiting themselves under the guise of trying to help other people. And it is always the Haitians who are coming up short.
Howard in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Howard. Howard, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, we got you now.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. Haiti has a long story, some great story, but they never talk about. Last time, 2 million Americans voted for Bill Clinton to return Jean-Bertrand Aristide out back to Haiti. But the main problem was, after more than 30 years, they never had election. They had a dictator, Duvalier. And the first election they had after more than 30 years, the two Bushes, Bush first and Bush second, give the president a coup d'etat, which is making all the problem in Haiti that was happening right now.
How do you feel? And Howard, we're going to run out of time for the segment in a minute. So given that history of the two presidents Bush supporting the two presidents Duvalier in Haiti, and then Bill Clinton as president helping to restore the democratically elected Aristide, but then the involvement that Hillary Clinton was said to have with Preval and all that, and as Jonathan, our guest, was describing it, you know, intervening against one president who seemed to be elected or on the verge of being elected, who was less in favor of the United States and putting in someone who was more U.S. friendly. The Clintons seem to have history on both sides of supporting democracy in Haiti. Where do you come down in the big picture?
Well, basically, Clinton's wrong by doing that. But I would still want to see Haitian American voted for Clinton, because we feel that with my Bill Clinton's policy might be better than Trump policy. But on the other hand, there was one thing Trump said, which I supported that. If he becomes president, he will not support coup d'etat happening in other countries. But the problem in Haiti been happening because of coup d'etat. Since 1953, when they gave the first president coup d'etat and put it Duvalier, ever since it's been coup d'etat. So the first election the people had, when George Bush's took that president out for more than 30 years, they never had election. It's like they breaking the country's heart.
Howard, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. And Jonathan, give us a last word on what happens now, and for that matter, how listeners who want to help Haiti recover from the hurricane now can best do it with so many of the aid groups so-called into question in terms of how well they're using their money.
I think the most important thing is to make sure that everything we do is to support Haitian institutions, to give Haitians the money and the power to make the decisions that they want to make and to take control of their own lives. Haiti, I think, is being used as a prop on the margins of the U.S. election, and I think that does Haiti a disservice. And I think it's really important to take this seriously and understand that it's a country with its own history and its own people, and they just need to be given the power and the money to actually make the decisions that they need to prosper and to be safer in the future.
Jonathan Katz was covering Haiti for the Associated Press in 2010 when the big earthquake there struck, and he's the author of the book, The Big Truck That Went By, How the World Came to Save Haiti and Left Behind a Disaster. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.